Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. We have a tremendous guest. I read this book. I've told you about it already. Paramedico, Paramedico. Wonderful book. Benjamin Gilmore is the author. He's an Australian paramedic who for 15 years has worked with ambulance and services in America, England, Iceland, Macedonia, Mexico, Pakistan, the Philippines, South Africa, and Thailand. And Paramedico is really a brilliant collection of the stories of his wild adventures, but it's really brilliant written as well. This is a fast read. This is a great book for summer, a great book for any time. In fact, it is just wonderful. Mr. Gilmore, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Mike.
Now tell me, Benjamin, what's the difference? I know the difference, but and your book illustrates it beautifully, but what's the difference between an ambulance driver and a paramedic? Don't all ambulance drivers have to be paramedics?
Well, in most parts of the world now, they have to be trained to some degree of emergency care. So either emergency medical technician, EMT, or paramedic, and even intensive care paramedics in some locations who are specialized in the field. Now, say going back 30 years or more, back then it was more common for ambulance workers to be referred to as drivers because that is largely what they did. They may have had some oxygen and some wooden splints, but that was about the extent of it. The emergency medical profession, particularly in the out-of-hospital setting, the ambulance setting, has come a long way in 30 years. It's progressed rapidly, and now paramedics are able to do as much as any doctor could do outside of a hospital setting without the diagnostics of X-rays and CT. So right now around the world, and certainly in developed countries, paramedics are no longer referred to as ambulance drivers as they used to be.
And in fact, you point out the difference, for example, in England, where Henry, which is a person, the ambulance driver in the story, is very different, it seems, than a paramedic. and he gets his kicks not out of saving people, but almost out of driving crazily through the streets with his ambulance lights and sounds on.
Well, interesting you should mention my time in England, because this is the one country where I didn't work for the state-run ambulance service and worked instead for a private company. Now, being Australian, we don't really have private ambulance services down here, as you might say in the US or in the UK, and very tightly regulated in Australia. So it's unusual for me to experience slightly gung-ho, cowboy-like service where they were essentially ambulance drivers ferrying patients from one place to another, were a little bit out of whack, a little bit loose, let's say, in their professionalism.
And so he... Well, let me go and flip to another country, if you will. Although I found the opening story of you as an ambulance, if you will, alone as both the ambulance driver and paramedic, and needed volunteers to drive in the outback in Australia.
Yes, indeed. And I started off as a paramedic very young. I was 19. That's young in Australia. Certainly not young in some other places in the world, and we might talk about that later. In Pakistan, you have even children working on ambulances, which is quite shocking. But in the outback of Australia, I was sent there. It was very hard to get paramedics to work out in these very remote towns, and yet the government here has a promise that it makes to the public that it will have an ambulance at your doorstep within 8 to 10 minutes, wherever you happen to be. Australia is an enormous country, and a lot of it is very sparsely populated and vast areas of just nothingness. And there was this small town that I got sent to where I attended one emergency every fortnight, but usually that was a very serious trauma on the road. And there were no choppers, no helicopters for emergency evacuation back then in 1997. When I was posted there, and I didn't have a partner, so I drove to the scene as a young guy and had to extricate these patients and treat them and stabilize them and transport them, sometimes more than an hour, sometimes 3 or 4 hours to the closest trauma hospital. So it was a lot of pressure very early on in my career, but made for some very exciting, hair-raising moments.
Well, one of the things I almost couldn't believe was that you actually would pull aside and take their blood pressure. You'd stop the ambulance, you'd drive off the road and park for a second and take the blood pressure to make sure it was stable or to adjust fluid volumes or the IVs that were infusing, and then start driving again.
That was very awkward, yes. I mean, I would have to angle the rear vision mirror. I think, I don't know whether you call it the rear vision mirror in America, but you'd angle it down as I drove onto the patient in the back of the ambulance so I could keep an eye on the patient. I'd have the cardiac monitor volume up so I could hear the tapping of the heartbeat, and I wouldn't, you know, and so it was very difficult to assess the patient when you had to pull over every now and then and do a blood pressure. I mean, and occasionally I would have to recruit a member of the public to drive the ambulance for me, and there were moments when I couldn't find a sober person to drive. So these were the situation, the dilemmas that you're faced with, and it does make for some quite riveting stories.
We should say there was also
Yes, you there? So, one of the interesting things was, as a young man out there in the bush, I only later found out that one of the great American authors, journalists and authors, Ernest Hemingway, had actually himself figured out very early on that to be at the forefront of action, wherever the action happened to be, the best way of doing that was to jump on an ambulance. Of course, very few ambulance services will let journalists simply ride along and observe what's going on. And so the only way to do it really is to become a paramedic yourself. In a sense, when Ernest Hemingway did that around 1918, I mean, he applied for the Red Cross that was recruiting out of Kansas City and then was sent to the Italian front. And I remember reading about one of the first jobs, that one of the first emergencies that Hemingway went to, a large explosion at a munitions factory in Milan. And his, being faced with such a serious emergency where, and I've been to bomb blasts myself, and I've and they are very, very confronting. But he was faced with multiple casualties, and many of them in very bad shape. And then I think he realized that being a paramedic was going to offer him an insight into humanity and an insight into humans under pressure and real crisis moments. And I think that is what comes out in Paramedico, the book. What I wanted to share with people were these stories that they're not ordinarily able to be aware of, because it's very rare to get inside an ambulance. You know, film cameras can't get in there either. So, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I wrote the book.
It's a great book, Paramedico. When we come back, I'm going to talk about two countries that I've visited that have ambulance services and very different ambulance services in them. One is Johannesburg, South Africa, and how much trauma there is there. Listen to You, the Owner's Manual radio show. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. One of the books we're talking about today is Benjamin Gilmore's. It's a great book, Paramedico, Around the World by Ambulance. I couldn't put it down. It was so riveting in the writing style. So, Ben Gilmore, you have an extra wonderful talent in writing, in addition to being a paramedic. But he is an Australian paramedic who for 15 years worked ambulance services in America, England, Iceland, Macedonia, Mexico, Pakistan, the Philippines, South Africa, and Thailand. And by far the one that I related to most was the one in South Africa. I should say that one of the things I did is that when I was way back when, this is in 1973, maybe 72, in Cambridge City in Boston, Massachusetts, or near Boston, Massachusetts. Cambridge City is across the river. I rode in an ambulance for about a week trying to learn what they did, and in fact, the settings are so real that the ones you bring up, Benjamin Gilmore, are exactly the same. I also was privileged to work for 2 weeks when I was well into my career in probably 1991 or two in Baraguana, which is the hospital you delivered many patients to across from Soweto in Johannesburg, what's called Joburg in South Africa. And so the stories were really real there, and you described them beautifully. What did you think of your time there?
Yeah, well, it was quite an eye-opener, Dr. Mike, in Johannesburg. And coming from Australia, we don't really have much violence down here. We don't have a gun culture, and we certainly don't have the murder rate that Johannesburg in South Africa has and has had. And so it, you know, riding out with the paramedics there was quite an eye-opener. And I worked at Baragwanath Hospital for a little bit as well, and it was really quite horrific. I mean, you would think that in that environment, paramedics would be worried about getting shot, and of course they are, because sometimes people, you know, snipe at them, and a lot of the paramedics wear bulletproof vests. So I had to wear a bulletproof vest on a regular basis. Some of the paramedics are even armed. However, their greatest fear, particularly paramedics working around the townships, was hepatitis C, HIV, and those communicable diseases that come with exposure to, regular exposure to blood from trauma. And I found that very interesting, that when in sub-Saharan Africa you've got potentially more than 20% of the population who are HIV positive, that's a natural concern for paramedics who are working in an environment where the majority of their emergencies involve blood and blood exposure. So these things came up, which I found really interesting, and they made their way into the book.
Right, and in a brilliant way you wrote about this, and I found it really absolutely both riveting and excellent. The other thing you talk about in this area, if you will, just the size of Baragwanath. Just imagine the largest of the U.S. hospitals from a standpoint of number of births per year is maybe around 20,000. Baragwanath had 63,000. And the number of emergency, what we call C-sections, etc., and any Friday night there were 10 or 12 going on, and one anesthesiologist running from room to room to room to room to try and keep up, while one anesthesiologist, and for the 10 or 12 patients. And the same thing for the trauma. I mean, there must have been 10 trauma rooms that were full knife and gun club, all out life or death struggles in those rooms.
Well, they did. In 24 hours, I mean, I remember Joburg General Hospital, 24 hours, they had six, when I was there, six trauma bays with full surgical teams on standby, or actually conducting surgery, you know, around the clock. And when you think that not just the gun crime, but even a simple motor vehicle accident in a country where you have minibuses that are typically, you know, full of people, sometimes a dozen people. Say you've got a minibus with 10 people having a head-on collision with another minibus of 10 people. So you go to a motor vehicle accident in Johannesburg and you're dealing with 20 casualties, and some, and you know, at high speed, some of them are very critical. So these patients are coming in all the time by ambulance. And I remember arriving on scene at an incident where a big semi-trailer, a big semi, went through a restaurant. And there were people lying everywhere. It was absolute mayhem. And the paramedics I was working with at the time, were so calm and so cool because to them it was very normal, because this is something they deal with on a daily basis.
Now, the other one, there's another city you loved working in, I think, or it comes out in the book how much enthusiasm you have, is Venice.
Yes. Well, I mean, there are a lot of interesting things about the Venetian chapter. And, I mean, the book is in, it's not a clinical book. It's about the adventures that I have with paramedics and the challenges that they face around the world in different places. And Venice is a particular city because, to a large extent, paramedics there are still operating in the way that perhaps Napoleon's medics used to operate in the day, albeit they've got mobs on their ambulance boats. In the old days, they used to have ambulance gondolas. But in any case, they still face the problem of high tide. Now, when the tide in Venice is high, the ambulance boats can't fit under many of the bridges, so therefore they can't proceed to the to the emergency. At least they can't get close to an emergency. So that's a problem. The other problem is in the winter. Throughout the year there can be flooding, particularly in the winter, a flooding of the alleyways, and you know, a good percentage of Venice goes underwater. So the paramedics actually have to don fly fishing boots to wade, you know, sometimes half an hour through the small alleyways to reach the patient, fling the patient on their shoulders and wade back to the boat. And it's quite a challenge, you know, something that we in Australia or America or England never really have to face.
Now, the other one of the other cities, and by the way, I can't say how much fun this book is. Whether you have any relationship to medicine or just want to read a fast read that's fun, Paramedico, Paramedico. Let me ask you a couple more questions. Has it turned into a movie now?
Yes, well, it is. In four of the cities, namely Lahore in Pakistan, I've helped with the ambulance service development there in Lahore, and it's really quite a Pakistan is a fascinating country. I mean, there's always something going on there. You know, there's never a dull moment. And then Mexico City, of course, Mexico is facing the narco problems with the narcotics, and they've got a lot of violence there. And then Hawaii, and so in some of these places, I took a camera and I filmed the documentary. The documentary is now available for viewing from our website, paramedico.com.au.
So we're going to have to go. All I can say is this is a great book, Paramedico by Benjamin Gilmour, G-I-L-M-O-U-R.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.